Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Profit Podcast. Today, we have a great show. We're going over sophomore wide receivers, running backs, and boom or bust. Do we think that these sophomores are going to break out and become full fantasy studs, or are they going to fizzle out and bust? And I also, it's very exciting, I've got a co-host. JT Runke is here co-hosting. Tell him a little bit about yourself.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, my name's JT Runke. I'm from the Nashville area. I cover the Tennessee Titans locally for a kind of a sports publication called Broadway Sports Media here in the Nashville area. But also, I'm just an insane fantasy football nut. Like, I love it, live and breathe it. So super excited and honored to be here and talk some ball with y'all.
It's very exciting. A lot of you have wanted for a while another voice, someone to say, Calvin, stop talking so much about Travis Etienne. So I brought someone in to tell me no more Travis Etienne hype. Although what early reports are saying, he's looking pretty good.
He does look good. And that's actually what I did in the interview to become the co-host. I just went up to him and I said, Travis Etienne sucks. And so it was, we're good from the get-go. But yeah, I like the early reports and how they're using him. I also think Tank Bigsby behind him, the rookie, is going to be really good. But yeah, I mean, maybe temper expectations on Travis Etienne this year.
we'll get into that at some point, I am sure. But today's show, we've got sophomore boom or bust. We've got a pretty full docket. Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Treylon Burks, Drake London, Jahan Dotson, and many more. We're going to be going through them and telling you if we think they are going to boom or if they are going to bust. So without further ado, Garrett Wilson, currently being drafted in the 207 spot on sleeper platforms. Last year, it was a great rookie season, especially considering the quarterback play he was dealing with. Joe Flacco, Mike White, it was a disaster, and he still put up a very solid fantasy season. Personally, I think it's going to be a boom season. What do you think?
I want to say boom so bad, but I know also just like how hot of a take it is to say that he's going to bust. And I don't want to take the middle, but I'm erring on the side of bust for a couple of reasons. One is just that there are a lot of mouths to feed in New York,
yes,
especially with their now interest in Dalvin Cook, who they might sign. I mean, I'm just looking at the depth chart here, and I totally forgot, like, Mecole Hardman is on this team now too. Like, you have, outside of Garrett Wilson, you have Alan Lazard, Mecole Hardman, Corey Davis, Randall Cobb. Just like, there's so many mouths to feed on that offense, especially like in the tight end room as well. Tyler Conklin and CJ Uzoma, like, they're Aaron Rodgers didn't bring over his two best pals and Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard for a reason, you know? And what worries me is that I think there could be a chance that, like, you find yourself a little bit frustrated with Garrett Wilson, especially for where you're drafting him. I think you're drafting him to be a top 10 wide receiver, but there might be some weeks where Aaron Rodgers is just having really good chemistry with Alan Lazard, and that just frustrates you as an owner.
That's I definitely see that, and it's the sort of thing I think that he might have a lot of yards, but the touchdowns might go somewhere else, especially with Dalvin Cook there, especially if Breece Hall actually is healthy. There might not be the touchdown upside, and it is something important looking at the ADP. 207, that isn't a discount. You're not drafting someone with a potential breakout. He has to boom, for it to be worth it. And anything short of, you know, a top eight season at this point, given all the hype, the rising ADP, I think it will be a little higher by the time drafts are coming. It's going to be harder and harder for Garrett Wilson to meet the expectations. So I understand the concerns. Personally, though, I feel like his explosiveness paired with Aaron Rodgers, I love it. I love it. And if he stays at 207, I think I'm okay with it. But do you think his ADP is going to continue to rise? Do you think he'll get higher in the second?
I think there's a possibility. I mean, You're looking I don't think it's gotten to the point where you can consider drafting him over guys like Stephon Diggs and CeeDee mm-hmm. Lamb and some of those guys on the turn in your drafts into round two. But could it get there with preseason training camp hype? Maybe. And that I feel like 207 for me is the ceiling of where I would draft him personally.
He's going one or three picks right now on sleeper leagues before Jalen Waddle. I think Jalen Waddle has as much or more upside, and I might actually like the floor there more. I know it was inconsistent, but there are fewer mouths to feed. So right next to Amon-Ra St. Brown, those two guys, Amon-Ra and Jalen Waddle, do you like Garrett Wilson more than any of those guys, or are you taking Amon-Ra and Waddle before Garrett Wilson over them?
I think I'm taking Amon-Ra before Garrett Wilson. I think I'd do St. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Jalen Waddle. And that's mainly just going on my personal opinion that volume is king. And I would take Amon-Ra and Garrett Wilson, who I know is going to get at least a substantial good value of the volume from a week to week, instead of mm-hmm. you're playing the gamble with those Miami Dolphins, man. do they go off this week? Does Tua stay hurt? Does he get another concussion? It's just a little bit more volatile. I feel like I'd be more comfortable taking Garrett Wilson over Jalen Waddle right now. But I do think, to a degree, that you are correct that Waddle does have the absolute breakout upside.
So Garrett Wilson for me is a boom. But watch the ADP. If it gets much higher at all, I'm not considering it a boom. What's your official summary of Garrett Wilson?
I'm gonna do a slight bust because there are concerns. Garrett Wilson with the ankle injury, something we didn't even bring up yet. And obviously, I think Robert Saleh said that that's not a huge concern, but already in already at training camp, it's hard to see that come up, and you have to wonder how's this going to affect him going into the rest of training camp.
All right. The next, this is another wide receiver, sophomore with the potential to break out. He was really good last year, very similar season to Garrett Wilson. Also had horrible quarterback play. Chris Olave currently being drafted at the 304 spot on sleeper drafts. Boom or bust? You go first, because I know my answer.
I'm all in on Chris Olave. I am huge boom potential for this guy. Yes. Just I think the opportunity is there, especially in the deep yards, the big time plays. He was fourth in the league last year in deep targets here with 29. It had a crazy target share, 26.7, which I think is 15th in the league. This guy now is paired with a quarterback who loves to throw the deep ball already. Mm-hmm. And I mean, outside of maybe a return for Michael Thomas, does he come back at all? I don't know. That's to be seen, but he is the undoubted wide receiver one in this offense, with Alvin Kamara not maybe playing the first half of the season. Who else really is there to throw the ball to? So I think Chris Olave, especially at the 304 right there, is due for a massive season.
Yep, 26% target share. He ranked 10th in the target rates. Air yards, super high. Air yard share, super high. Deep targets, 29, which was fourth. It just, what held him back was quarterback play. You put in a much better quarterback, you don't have to overthink it. And at 304, that's a good price. That doesn't feel like you're drafting him at his ceiling.
I think you're drafting him with the expectations to be a comfortable wide receiver one for you, mm-hmm. maybe for high end wide receiver two, but you have the you have the faith in the confidence that he can be a top eight receiver.
Let's just say Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, the fact that they did what they did last year with those quarterbacks is it's unreal. The more I look back, I see he put up 130 yards with Andy Dalton. That's just
that alone. And the mangled corpse of Jameis Winston. Gosh. And like both these guys are getting massive quarterback upgrades. And so like I am a little concerned with Garrett Wilson's price, but like Chris Olave, I'm hammering that 304 every single time, not even thinking about it.
For sure. So I think we are at an agreement. Chris Olave, massive boom this season. The next one, you're a big Titans fan, so I want to hear your take. His ADP is very low now because they just signed DeAndre Hopkins. Treylon Burks, 7-11 is where he's going. Boom or bust? I'm going to put it right out there. Bust. I don't trust the quarterbacks. I think Hopkins is the guy. The tight end,
Chigakonkwo, man. That's my boy. We call him on our show here that when I cover the Titans. We call him last year the prince that was promised because we are so – and, I mean, Danny Kelly on his show, The Ringer, has both labeled me and my podcast host over there, Easton Freeze, as big Chig guys. So I'm all in on Chigakonkwo, man.
And he's a beast, and I just don't think Treylon Burks is going to have a massive role. I don't think he's going to be non-existent, but I think that they knew what they had in Treylon Burks and they went out and got DeAndre Hopkins. And it's 7-11, sure, you're not paying a massive price for him, but I don't see a path to fantasy glory. I don't know about you.
Here's the case for Treylon Burks that I've been cooking. So if you watch DeAndre Hopkins kind of tape from last year, you know that he's not going to play the X outside role anymore. He's going to be more, especially in this offense, he's going to be more of the Y, kind of the flanker wide receiver in this offense. And I think that they brought DeAndre Hopkins in because that wide receiver room is so bad outside of Treylon Burks and maybe like Kyle Phillips if he can stay healthy. But they are going to make Treylon Burks the wide receiver one, despite DeAndre Hopkins. He's going to be the X. He's going to be the deep ball guy. He's going to be making the big plays where DeAndre Hopkins is certainly going to get his fair share of targets. But I think Treylon Burks plays a kind of a role like Marquise Brown did last year for Arizona in tandem with DeAndre Hopkins. And so at in the seventh round, I think honestly still like pretty well priced there at the kind of last pick in the seventh round. You're buying this guy to be a wide receiver too, and hoping that the target share that he does get can kind of make him a viable, better wide receiver too.
Well, do you trust the quarterback though?
I do.
That's the biggest thing for me.
I think Ryan Tannehill is so underrated by like anybody outside of Nashville. We talk about it all the time. If everyone outside of Nashville doesn't really know what's going on in Nashville, and it's like we are trying to scream from the rooftops down here in Nashville, like, guys, Ryan Tannehill has had success. He's not this game winner that's going to take you all the way, but he has success. He is a good quarterback.
But is it full guarantee he's starting the whole season? Because if it's fully guaranteed this Tannehill and that play action offense that they used with Derrick Henry, and if that's guaranteed, then yeah, I like Burks where he is. But I get scared that they're gonna put in Will Levis. And I went to UK. I watched every Will Levis home game. I was there.
There you go.
And it doesn't make me have confidence. I don't want Will Levis throwing my wide receiver the ball. Now, 7-11, the people going near him, Jordan Addison, Jahan Dotson, they're all gambles. There's no one at that point in the draft that is, you know, for sure going to produce for fantasy. But I worry about quarterback changes. What do you think that's something that could happen this season, or do you think it's going to be Tannehill?
There are two situations in which Ryan Tannehill isn't the quarterback this season for the full year. One is if he just gets hurt again, which is just really impossible to predict. And two, if this team starts 1-5, 1-6 out of the gate when they go to London and have that bye week and they've only won one or two games, I think you can start to make a case that maybe we should be sellers at the deadline and we need to see what we have in Will Levis. And that's pretty much the only real possibility I see Will Levis, or to that extent Malik Willis, playing this year. I don't think that the Titans brought in they didn't bring in DeAndre Hopkins to be a just average 500 team. Mm-hmm. They want to compete because they know they can probably win this division still. And so I have the utmost confidence that Ryan Tannehill will be the starter for all 16 games, as long as he's healthy, 16, 17 games.
Well, I'll let you have Treylon Burks. I'll let you have him. I'll take Jahan Dotson at the turn at the end of the season. We'll see who was right. I just can't get on board with him this season. I think talent-wise, I like him, but this year, fantasy-wise, I don't think I'm in.
And it's always with, outside of Derrick Henry, like, Tennessee Titans are just an ugly team to draft, man. And I already see it with, like, DeAndre Hopkins. Like, DeAndre Hopkins was, like, his ADP was so low because, like, he was a free agent, and then he signed with the Titans, and I feel like he did not get that much of a jump in ADP at all. So I totally understand it from, but just seeing how this team over the offseason has kind of conducted their offseason strategy, I'm buying in on Treylon Burks.
It makes sense. Now, the next one, I can't get in on it due to the worries I have at quarterback. Drake London, the next sophomore wide receiver, going 505, which isn't that late. I mean, Treylon Burks, you can at least argue he's going late enough that everyone's a gamble. Treylon Burks, though, middle of the fifth round, there are still some players that, I mean, DJ Moore, Terry McLaurin, Jerry Jeudy are all going right there in the fifth round. Jerry Judy's actually going after him by two picks on sleeper platforms. I am not in on Drake London this year. I don't see it happening. This is a team that everything they have done screams, we want to run the ball. Arthur Smith, I mean, they ran the ball a lot and well with Algier and Cordero Patterson last year. They draft Bijan Robinson with the eighth overall pick. Drake London could be the best wide receiver in the world. I don't think he's going to see the volume. Where do you stand on Drake London?
It's a tough one because I was boom on Drake London, and now I'm like, you have solid reason to believe that it's just not going to be there. You don't draft Bijan Robinson with the eighth overall draft pick this offseason to not make that your featured part of your offense. I mean, Art Smith basically has his Derrick Henry now after being the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. He's like basically went out and he's like, okay, I'm gonna go get my Derrick Henry. And so that's what he's gotten him. However, if there was a case to be made, I mean, if outside of like maybe like Kyle Pitts, who knows with Kyle Pitts what we'll see. But like, who else is, if they are going to throw the ball, like, are you really going to give like Olamide Zaccheaus like a huge target share? Like, I don't see it, man. So, I'm quietly sipping the Kool-Aid on Desmond Ridder. I don't think he's going to be that. I don't think he's going to be as bad as people say. I mean, if you look at his last two games that he played in weeks 17 and 18, especially week 18, he had a actually really good game. He had 19 completions on 30 attempts for 224 yards and two touchdowns with a quarterback rating of 108. So like, if that is hopefully what you get out of Desmond Ridder every single week, is about 200 yards or so and like a touchdown, like I think the majority of that is going to be going to Drake London, which is why
but at 505 with Jerry Jeudy at 508,
there are more enticing options. I think I'd take Jerry Jeudy over him personally right now. Terry McLaurin is interesting. I feel like Desmond Ridder is a slightly more known commodity than Sam Howell. So I think I'm still shading Drake London there. But like,
no, I agree
all those
with
guys
that.
At that kind of 505 range, it's really like you're hoping that these guys can give you the stable wide receiver two value that you're drafting them to give you.
I love, I'm looking at this fifth round. You got McLaurin, DJ Moore, Drake London, Jerry Jeudy, and Christian Watson, and Chris Godwin. Those are the wide receivers being drafted in the fifth round right now. Those guys are great with quarterbacks who we have no idea what's going on.
They're all question marks, man. That is, I do not envy you looking for wide receivers in the fifth round right there. Like, that's when you start thinking, okay, let me take George Kittle, or let me take a Darren Waller or something, and maybe go get my quarterback, like a Lamar Jackson or a Joe Burrow there at the fifth round there. Because, like, I don't really want to buy in, because all those guys have massive question marks.
Some of them, one of them's gonna do it, one of them, but looking at the quarterbacks, it's gonna be so hard to predict. I guess my favorite would just be Jeudy, based on what we've seen Russell Wilson be able to do in the past, kind of hoping that Sean Payton can somehow.
The most known commodity, yeah, I would think.
Whereas every other quarterback, I mean, Jordan Love for Christian Watson, we have no clue. He could be fantastic. He could be not. We've never seen anything really apart from a game or two. But that's where I am with Drake London, is just, I can't pull the trigger in the fifth round. If he was seventh, sixth round, going around like Michael Pittman or Marquise Brown, I'd do it, I think. But
I would have to
that
agree.
Extra round
I,
is.
I think I'm gonna. I think I've been kind of talking myself down from Drake London now, especially at that ADP. NFL wise player, I think good player.
Yeah,
getting him in the fifth round. No, I'll see you next year.
He might be the new Terry McLaurin, almost. Yeah. The next one. This guy is why I will not be drafting Terry McLaurin in a single league this season. Sophomore wide receiver Jahan Dotson, ADP 801. Why would I draft Terry McLaurin 501 when I can get Jahan Dotson 801 over the back, like five games? Their receptions, targets, touchdowns, yards, pace, pretty much identical. The quarterback is once again an unknown commodity. Could be horrible, could be, probably won't be great, but could be okay, but we don't know. And when you got McLaurin in the fifth round and then Jahan Dotson in the eighth, I kind of am on the boom side of Dotson, where I think that he could be Terry McLaurin from the years past, just in the eighth round, which at that point is an incredible value. That's something that I would love all the time. The problem with Terry McLaurin has always just been that he gets hyped up and you draft him pretty early. But if there's basically a Terry McLaurin in the eighth round, I like it. After he came back from the injury, Jahan Dotson as a player on the field, watching him was very compelling. And I think that this Commanders team is going to be better than people give them credit for. I think that they've built a pretty solid cast that can actually support two wide receivers. I don't think either McLaurin or Dotson will be superstars, but will they be good in fantasy? Yes. And in the eighth round, I'm good with Dotson. What are your thoughts on Dotson?
I'm good with it, especially in the eighth round there, especially from what he showed us. In the games he did play, he had 41% of the total share of touchdowns last season. So he was getting the looks and he was creating opportunities for himself to score. And I feel like if you're looking for a guy in the eighth round, I would honestly take him over guys like Deontay Johnson and George Pickens right now, because mm-hmm. I think we know the target share is going to be there and the opportunities are going to be there. And so I like Jahan Dotson, especially more than Terry McLaurin, because at the eight, kind of the turn between the seventh round and the eighth round there, between him and Treylon Burks, I feel like they're both well, if you swing and you miss, but you're not putting a lot of stock into these guys.
No. So Jahan Dotson, the last five games, that's when he was back and integrated the offense based on snap percentages, on pace for 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 119 targets. That in the eighth round is phenomenal. And guess what? Terry McLaurin on pace for 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 115 targets. Essentially identical. So I have not really been able to find an argument against Jahan Dotson apart from the quarterback situation. But in the eighth round, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You swing and you miss. And if you miss, it's okay, well, I'm of the opinion that when it comes to these Commander wide receivers, because I have been burned many times in the past by Terry McLaurin. I am in the market of drafting players who aren't going to instantly make me frustrated with my team. And I think Jahan Dotson is kind of already playing second fiddle to Terry McLaurin. So like, you can't really get frustrated with his value.
And you're drafting him, he's going to be on your bench.
Yeah.
You'll be like, oh, he's certainly someone I can start, but you're drafting and he's going to be on your bench. So I'm glad we're both on the same page here. It's always nice to find someone else who likes Jahan Dotson.
Yes. Hey, man, you gotta pick your battles, you know, and that's with Jahan Dotson. I'm backing him 100%.
The next one is, man, all these sophomore wide receivers are very talented with unknown commodity quarterbacks, I think. Christian Watson, 509 on sleeper leagues, which is right in that middle area with all those other wide receivers we talked about. He's one that I don't know. Everyone else I can be like, yeah, I'm in or I'm out. Christian Watson, his explosiveness is very compelling in fantasy. Jordan Love, when we saw him, was pretty good, I thought. And he targeted Christian Watson quite a bit. We saw Christian Watson have some good games with him. But now they're talking Romeo Dobbs is going to be the one and Christian Watson is going to be the two. It's very hard to make sense of the Green Bay Packers and to pull the trigger on their players in fantasy. However, it gets to a point where you start to go, if Jordan Love is good, everyone on the Packers is at a massive discount right now.
I
think I'm in on Watson because if I had to place a bet on do I think Jordan Love is good, I would probably say yes. I think he's way overhated. I think that the stuff with Aaron Rodgers has made him into kind of a meme, but I think he's going to be good. And at that point, Watson, 509, it's a steal. Even Aaron Jones would be a steal. So I want to hear your take on these Packers players.
With Christian Watson, I'm a little, I think he's good. I'm hesitant to take him at the end of the fifth round right there, mostly because you have guys like Jerry Jeudy there,
yeah,
and you have known commodities. However, if there is one of these like sophomore wide receivers who we look back and say, oh, we should have never doubted that this guy in his second year was going to kind of blow up, like I feel like Christian Watson is probably in the conversation to have that title, because obviously like we saw flashes of Romeo Dobbs, but Christian Watson, for what it was worth, was towards the end of the season being the most consistent kind of wide receiver one on that team. And they got to throw the ball to somebody. You can only check down it to Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon so much, right? You gotta at some point throw it down the field. And they have a rookie tight end now with in Luke Musgrave, and with the exiting of Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb, like something's got to work. And I think Christian Watson at the 509, I'm not crazy about it, but like if you want to be aggressive in your leagues and you want to take risks, I think Christian Watson is a fine risk to take.
Yeah, he has league winner potential. Some of these other guys, I don't think Dotson has league winner potential. I think that he's a value. Christian Watson, though, I think could blow. I mean, he had weeks 10, 11, 12, 13. Those 4 weeks, he finished as a top 8 guy each week. Just seeing that explosiveness, that upside is rare in a rookie. And the situation was not great last year. It was a 1,300 yard pace. Touchdown pace was ridiculous of 30. That was his 17 game pace. So I don't think that's going to happen. But where you see a rookie wide receiver having that explosive touchdown upside, that's something that I find very interesting and something that I like to target in the middle round.
I mean, yeah, if you're looking for the upside of and trying to target guys that can on a daily basis, like you feel good about them finally breaking out and winning you, like he is a guy that will win you weeks because he will just have crazy games where he hit, where Jordan Love might hit him for two touchdowns, like two bombs down the field, and you will win that week. And if you're looking for a guy who you can count on to be a little bit more volatile and win you those weeks, but sometimes still probably get a little burned by him, Christian Watson is probably the embodiment of that.
All right, so on sleeper drafts, it's Jerry Jeudy, Watson, Chris Godwin going back to back to back. How would you rank those three?
Oh man, I've just talked myself so much into Jerry Jeudy this offseason.
It's fair.
I think I'm going to go Jeudy, Watson, and Godwin, mostly because what is going on in Tampa Bay? Like what is happening down there? I'm not touching anything in the Tampa Bay offense with a 10-foot pole, maybe even a 20-foot pole. I'm staying far away.
I'm pretty much, I would flip Jeudy, Watson, put Watson, Jeudy, and then really way down here, Chris Godwin. But
yes. the
Jerry Jeudy, Christian Watson, then massive tier break. Yeah, there's a massive tier break. So the next sophomore, boomer bust potential, George Pickens. Very little to go off of last year. I mean, stat-wise, there just isn't a lot. But he was very impressive to watch. Once again, the quarterback, we don't really know exactly what's going to happen there. Do you believe that George Pickens is going to break out? 800 yards, which is it's a solid rookie season. Not a lot in the touchdown department, but now Deontay Johnson might be injured. What are your thoughts?
I think if Deontay Johnson is out for from foreseeable time, especially at the 7:08 in the seventh round, like once again, like with Jahan Dotson, Treylon Burks, and George Pickens, you were taking guys in these seventh, eighth round that are kind of quietly commanding the wide receiver one volume in all three of their offenses, or will have a very good shot at becoming the wide receiver one in their offenses. From that standpoint, I think George Pickens is fine. However, I'm leaning towards bust on George Pickens. I'm just not bought in. I'm more of the mindset of I want to see more from him. The craziest stat is that there was only one Steelers wide receiver that scored a touchdown for them last year, and that was George Pickens. Like, I think eventually you gotta, like, if Deontay Johnson's fine, like, You got to get him some looks. And I think whatever Matt Canada is doing with that offense, I'm just questioning every decision he makes. So I'm currently out on George Pickens. I think I would take Treylon Burks or Jahan Dotson over George Pickens right now because I think they have a better chance to be that wide receiver one in their offense. And for him to be going just a little bit ahead of them, I think is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and it just came out 7 minutes ago that Deontay Johnson, it was related to heat is why he left, and they're not concerned injury-wise. He's going to take a lot of the volume, and honestly, he's only going one pick earlier. Deontay Johnson is going one pick earlier than George Pickens. I would way rather take Deontay Johnson 7:07 than George Pickens 7:08, because Deontay Johnson, at least you know in PPR leagues, you'll be fine plugging him in and starting him. He'll get you a good baseline. Whereas George Pickens seems like each week is kind of boom or bust. He'll have some highlight reel plays, but it's not as reliable.
I mean, and that's so funny because I feel like you can look at any ranking and George Pickens and Deontay Johnson are always ranked just like right next to each other, because I feel like everyone is just like has this same sense of what do we do with them? Like we all don't know what to do with them. So might as well just stick them together and just kind of rank them as one and go from there.
And I think Pickett will be better than last season. He's going to throw more touchdowns, of course. But I don't think that it's super realistic to think that he's going to be able to support two startable fantasy assets. And I think that they will try their best to run the offense through Najee Harris and then also Jaylen Warren to kind of help out Pickett. And I think that there's a good chance both Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, neither of them are great fantasy-wise, but we might see kind of the same last year where Deontay saves it with volume.
And, like, that's probably why I'm taking Deontay Johnson over him. Mm-hmm. Volume is king, if Deontay Johnson gets 60 yards, but with six receptions on those 60 yards, and he gets you with 12 points, I'm thinking that's what I drafted you to do. Get me 12 to 14 points on a week. And I think he does that comfortably.
And it's almost weird. They're being drafted right next to each other, but the expectation is different. It's almost like you're expecting a breakout from Pickens. And it's almost to this weird, if Pickens does what Deontay Johnson does, even though they're being drafted next to each other, it's going to feel like a bust, because you're expecting this kind of, just based on some of the plays he made last year, you're expecting more. I think that really no matter what happens, you're going to be disappointed with Pickens.
I've not bought into the hype on Pickens, and that's why I'm sure he's going to be really good this year, but fantasy wise and just kind of like the narrative wise, I have not bought into it, and I'm kind of watching from afar.
Now the next one, Jameson Williams, he's another just, I got no clue what to make. I mean, extremely talented, but he hardly played last season. He's injured again, and then he's suspended because of the gambling. And then you also factor in Jahmyr Gibbs. They drafted 12th overall, who's a great pass catcher. And Amon-Ra St. Brown had the massive breakout season. He finished number 8 last year on sleeper leagues. He was a beast. I don't know if I can get all in on Jameson Williams, but then I see he's going in the 10th round. I feel like it's worth the shot in the dark, you know?
And I think that's fair. I'm personally just not doing anything with Jameson Williams. Like, if he's on the waiver wire come week 5, because someone like they just need to make a move, I will consider picking him up if he ever sometime makes his way to the waiver wire throughout the season. But Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be your one in that offense. Jahmyr Gibb is going to command a decent amount of targets. They just traded for Denzel Mims, what really is Denzel Mims? We don't know, because Zach Wilson was always the one throwing him the ball. And so, like, we'll have to see there. They brought back Marvin Jones. They have
Montgomery's going to run it on the goal line too.
And they have a rookie tight end that will probably get a lot of feature as well. So it's just like, it's quietly a crowded offense, but also I'm intrigued by how like explosive this offense can be. And when he comes back, like, I think he could be viable, like, as a flex play. But I just can't stomach taking him in a draft right now.
Part of me also fears that it's going to be one of those, happens every once in a while, like, just circumstantially, an offense kind of moves on. You know, he's going to miss out on making his role in the offense. Amon-Ra St. Brown has established himself. Some of these other players are going to have a chance. That's where it's frustrating. It's these other players, Gibbs might have a chance to establish himself as a pretty big target share before Williams is even there. And then he's going to be scraping his way back to even be a player in this offense that's relevant. So as talented as he is, I fear that the offense is going to move on without him. And it will take a long time for him to really be something that you can trust in fantasy. And if he has one or two games where he breaks off a massive deep play, I don't care, because there's no way I will have been starting him. I'll let someone else deal with that headache. It's Robbie Anderson.
Yes, there you go. It's just like frustrating that you probably will, like, you're drafting him with the hope that he comes back in 6 weeks and is a viable flex play that you can put in there. But like, you're not going to play him until like, you're not going to play him the first week he comes back. Like, he's going to be one of the classic cases of, oh, he blew up last week, now I put him in. And then he's probably going to, like you said, cause more headaches than bring you success.
I mean, he will have been in the NFL 2 years, and coming into his week 7 start, he will have one reception. It was a good reception, 41 yards and a touchdown. It was 10 points of a reception. But I don't think I can do it.
Yeah,
I don't think I can do it. I'm on the bus side.
I agree.
All right, James Cook is next. We're switching to running backs. We got a few running backs, and then we'll wrap it up. James Cook, ADP of 805. I have been out on him, but I've kind of gotten in on it recently. Looking at just the efficiency And the fact that they haven't added a lot, I thought they might go get Dalvin Cook. That doesn't seem to be happening. Damian Harris and James Cook, yes, it's a tandem, but 805, I'm not expecting my running back to be a bell cow. And when I look at, you know, 5.3 yards a carry, 6.3 yards per touch, he led the league with a 12.1 breakaway run rate. The efficiency and explosiveness, I'm a big fan of. And in the eighth round, I'm willing to take a shot on it, even if I don't think he's going to get the ball 20 times a game. So I am,
I want to say boom as well. So badly I want to, but I just know I can't. I don't mind drafting him in the eighth, especially with kind of how the running back landscape is right now. I think that's probably in the 7 to 10 range is where you start to like take shots on like a couple of these guys, like between like him and the guy we'll talk about here in a second, and Isaiah Pacheco, and kind of like the tandem of DeAndre Swift and Rashad Penny and DeMont in Detroit. Like, I feel like you're starting to get into that area where you're hoping that they can be a serviceable running back too, but like they're not for sure to be known. But like taking a shot like James Cook, I feel confident about that in the eighth round.
For me, in the eighth round, you've got James Cook, A.J. Dillon, and Antonio Gibson. Those are the three running backs. And I think Gibson and A.J. Dillon are safer. But in the eighth round, I'm not looking for a starting running back. I'm looking for someone who's going to sit on the bench and might have some explosive upside later on. I think James Cook fits that bill. I don't think it's like, oh, he has a nice floor. No, he's not going to have a nice floor. But
I think the
explosiveness is nice.
It is nice, and I think that we'll see kind of a switch this year with the Buffalo offense, mostly because their GM has come out publicly and just kind of said, we need to run the ball more so that Josh Allen doesn't run it himself and gets hurt, you know? So I feel like that is going to be a big part of it. And if they do start to implement kind of some of this passing game work into their offense for the running back position, James Cook is going to be the first one over Damian Harris to get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on the James Cook hype train.
Yes,
it's official.
Official. I will join you.
Welcome aboard.
I'll join you in maybe a week or two. Give me a second. Let me make sure that I make sure my ticket's okay, and I gotta check out everything, and then maybe I'll jump on.
Now the next one, 7:03, going a bit earlier. Isaiah Pacheco. And I'll tell you right now, I'm out. It's a bust because one of my least favorite players, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, is back, apparently, taking first-team reps. Jerick McKinnon is still there, correct?
Yes, they signed Jerick McKinnon to another one-year deal, and I just, like, there's no, like, there really is why I'm also out on Isaiah Pacheco. There's really no receiving work for him to have because there just is two better options in Jerick McKinnon, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire might not be a great runner, but he has always worked very well in that passing game for the Chiefs, especially within the red zone. I can't do it, man. Like he was very touchdown dependent, I feel like, in his games where he became a very like viable starter last year down the stretch. And if I just don't want, especially in the seventh round, I don't want to draft a touchdown dependent running back.
Yeah, who has so much to compete with. And on a team that, it's not like this team has a historical precedence. A long time ago, they might have, of using a one guy. But they've shown over the past several years, they have no problem with every week someone else gets the work. So I can't do it.
There's too much uncertainty with that. Like, of course you feel like you'd want a piece of the Patrick Mahomes offense, but like Patrick Mahomes just like throws it basketball style to Jerick McKinnon anyway, so it's like it's a crapshoot. And if there's a guy who doesn't already get the ball thrown to him by Patrick Mahomes, I don't want him.
Yeah, it's gonna be Mahomes, Kelsey, and then a headache.
Yes.
Now the next one, Damian Pierce, breakout last year, super fun to watch. But a lot of his real fantasy production The value was from the incredible volume he saw. 73% opportunity share, 6 out of all running backs. He was a true workhorse running back last season. He wasn't that efficient or that special. I mean, he runs tough. He's, I think, a good running back. But I'm looking at them, the new regime of coaching. They bring in Devin Singletary, who I don't think is a superstar, but he will be involved. In the fifth round, I myself am finding it hard to get excited about Damian Pierce. I think it could sadly be another of those running backs that we see have the big unforeseen rookie season, like Philip Lindsay, and then it just fades because the team is not committed to him. So I'm out on Damian Pierce.
And I think there are just, I think I'm also leaning towards being out on him just because of the kind of known commodities that you can get around him. Like, I think I'd rather have a J.K. Dobbins or a Miles Sanders.
Yes.
Or even like if Dalvin Cook signs somewhere, like, I think I'd take those guys over Damian Pierce right now. I don't think, and it's not because I think Devin Singletary is going to really like command a lot of the workload that Damian Pierce had last season. But CJ Stroud is just, I don't know what he is. I don't know what that offense kind of looks like.
Yeah.
So, I think if you're looking for a guy that like volume alone, I feel like it works, you know, but it's just like in the fifth round, man, I just can't do it.
I just worry if Singletary takes really any of it, because he was seeing games where he was like in the 70-80% snap range. He had, you know, 31 opportunities a game. If that goes down at all, he wasn't efficient enough for the fantasy value to stay. And if there's CJ Stroud who likes to run, is a much better passer, I think we're going to see fewer runs that way too.
Yeah, I mean, interesting, like Damian Pierce or Cam Akers.
I am going to get killed for this. I love Cam Akers.
I think I agree with you there. Like, I think I think between the two, I think what we saw from Cam Akers down the stretch last season is way more enticing than Damian Pierce. And Damian Pierce right now, I think, is like the running back 18. Cam Akers is running back 23. Like, I'd rather take a tight end or a upside wide receiver at that in the fifth round and come back and get Cam Akers on kind of a discount.
Yeah, Cam Akers last six games, 4.9 yards an attempt, 1400 yard pace, 17 touchdown pace. People are going to regret not being in on him. And the lack of production early in season, there's such a good excuse for it that he still wasn't back from the Achilles. So no, I'm all in on Cam Akers. And when you've got someone like that or Miles Sanders after Damian Pierce, I can't do it.
Yeah. I just like there are better options. Like even like James Conner, who is but like running back 25, like sometimes you just have to take players who you know are good, like that have shown us that they're good, but like both in fantasy and not. And like James Conner, I think, is a better option than Damian Pierce is.
Yeah, I'm looking at all the players going after him, and there's no way
there's better options. Like even if you want to take the chance on a guy that probably has even better upside than Damian Pierce, like Javonte Williams is running back 27.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many better options down the board, I think, than taking Damian Pierce in the fifth round.
You got Dobbins, Sanders. Yeah, all those guys I like more. Yeah. Well, the next one, we've got two left, and these two are where it gets a little ugly. Brian Robinson going 903 on sleeper platforms. He was shot last season and got off to a slow start because of that. So you got to give him a pass. but he never was incredible, but it got better during the season. But now they say, oh, well, we're going to finally use Antonio Gibson, right? What do you make of this? In the ninth round, I'm fine with that draft price, but do you think that he actually has much upside? Because that's where I just don't know if he's going to be someone who's going to have upside. I mean, he didn't have any breakaway runs really last year. He had two runs over 20 yards. I can't get excited about that sort of player on this offense.
It's always very frustrating, especially when you have like a running back by committee that you'll see with the Commanders this year with Antonio Gibson. And for what it's worth, I don't know exactly if I buy into Antonio Gibson being back, because I feel like that's what we hear every single year. And at this point, it's just like they're just churning the narrative back out for no reason. Ron Rivera just is like, I'll just say it again because, like, I don't know.
they like copy and paste the same text to the media each year. Or
yeah, there you go. But yeah, Brian Robinson is. I mean, in the ninth round, like, he's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to call him a bust because, like, I don't think he's I don't think he's going to have the running back. Like, he's not going to be an RB2. I think he has the potential to kind of be a flex, like an interesting flex from week to week. And that's kind of what you're getting in the ninth round. But definitely I'm leaning towards bust.
For me, you got Gibson and Robinson going right next to each other pretty much, I think, because no one really knows what to do with
another
them.
One. It's just like, let's just group them together.
For me, it's just like, you know, if it's a tandem situation in an unknown offense, I'm going to go with the one who has more receiving upside. That's just how I play fantasy football.
Especially, with PPR like and everything like that. Volume is king, and if you're getting the reception volume, I'd rather take that running back than the one who isn't getting the volume.
And what if they actually do use Gibson like McCaffrey? What if they actually do what they're going to say?
I don't know. You know,
then Brian Robinson's nothing.
Yeah, maybe this is finally the year. You know, the next Christian McCaffrey is here. It's Antonio Gibson for the third or fourth time. Now, actually, he just needed some time to warm up, you know?
Yeah.
But bro's going to start cooking.
Once they switch him to his actual position, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the final one, so I think we were both on bust there. Here we go with Tyler Algier. I have a slightly controversial take, and that is that I think Tyler Algier will be more involved than people expect in this offense. I don't think it will be super, super fantasy relevant. I mean, in the 11th round, there aren't really any fantasy relevant running backs. I'd probably take the upside shot at someone like Kendre Miller or Tank Bigsby or even Jaylen Warren, who's a handcuff. But I think Algier is going to touch the ball more than people expect. He was really good last season. He was a very good running back. 1,000 yards, had not a lot of touchdowns, but do you think that he's completely out of the picture?
It's hard to say no, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't draft Bijan Robinson to make this a running back by committee. And if there is any opportunity, like in the receiving game, like Cordarrelle Patterson is also still just hanging around. Like, and I still think they want very much to get Cordarrelle Patterson involved. Of course, you're going to run the offense through Bijan. So it just feels like there's not a lot of opportunity for him. But
it just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart.
Because he was good. He was a very, he was a very pleasant surprise last year. And they're like, okay, we have a good running back, but now let's take an even better running back so Art Smith can just recreate the Tennessee Titans down in Atlanta. And that seems like what he's doing.
I just hate to see, okay, 4.9 a carry came out of nowhere. And just the idea of him not like being a player that's rostered just is crazy to me. But I think you're right. But just for my personal like feelings, I'm gonna say boom.
Oh, there you go. I think I have to say bust. Except if I take Bijan Robinson, then I'm gonna take him as a handcuff, and that's really the only reality I see myself taking him in.
In that 11th, do you like, man? It's a 11th round running back. They're kind of some guys I like. It's kind of crazy. Tyler Algier or Elijah Mitchell or Devin Singletary. Those are going back to back to back.
I'm taking Elijah Mitchell because despite Christian McCaffrey being there, Kyle Shanahan just like doesn't care about your fantasy team. Elijah Mitchell's still going to get touches this season. I mean, he was actually the better running back as far as the kind of the command of the backfield. He was getting the more opportunities down the stretch when he came back with working with Christian McCaffrey. And I don't think that's going to really change. Now, the quarterback situation very up in the air. If it is Brock Purdy, I think that's better for Elijah Mitchell. If it is Trey Lance, I think that's worse for him. But I think out of those three guys, Elijah Mitchell easily is going to get the most volume.
Yeah. No, I see that too. I think Devin Singletary is worth rostering as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That offense is confusing to me. Or not confusing, I just like don't know really what to expect. But he's someone that I could see just being way more involved than people expect.
Yeah, and I think like we are overvaluing like some players. Like Damian Pierce, I think, is being overvalued, but then a guy like Dalton Schultz is being severely undervalued just because he is on the Texans. And like, especially, I think Damian Pierce is that running back, is the workhorse running back, and Devin Singletary is going to get most of the kind of the reception volume.
No, I agree with that. Well, there we go. That's all the sophomores that I wrote down. I think that's pretty much all of them, or at least the ones that are fantasy relevant.
The important
relevant.
Ones.
I mean, if we got to Algier, we didn't miss anyone.
There you go.
So without further ado, everyone, thank you so much for listening. And thank you, JT, for coming on as co-host. This was a lot of fun, a lot more fun than sitting in a closet by myself yelling about Travis Etienne. So
there you go, man.
I hope you all like it. I think that you will. And yeah, we will see you all next time.